Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
We were singing that song, I Want to Know You.
Right.
We were reaching for the highest goal. You know, highest goal for me is to know Him. I want to know Him, and I want Him to know me. You know, we've been reading a lot in Genesis. You know, at home we do a Bible study. And we've been reading about Joseph, and I mentioned that before. And you see the type and shadow of Joseph. To me, what I seen was the heart of Christ in Joseph.
Right.
You know, you seen where he was sold into slavery, ends up in prison, from prison to the head of the land of Egypt, most powerful nation. And in the time of need, he was there and appointed over all Pharaoh's house. And man, Pharaoh loved Joseph. That Pharaoh loved Joseph. And you see where he revealed himself. One of the things is he revealed himself to his brothers, finally. And he wept before them and he says, "Do not be angry with yourselves that you sold me, or grieved. God has sent me over here for provision for you guys."
Amen.
And to me, that's the heart of Christ.
Amen.
You know, because Jesus did the same thing. "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what to do." While they were crucifying him, and beat him, and driving that stake through his hand, and you know, I'm just as guilty as the man driving that stake right through his hand. I am that man, and yet he loves us. So, I look at that, and that's what we need. We're His body now. If you've been born again, you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you enter into His body. That's the type of love that we need to be walking in. Having the best interest for the people that don't know Him to know Him. And it didn't matter to Joseph. I'm so not like that. Man, sold me into slavery. And he ended up in prison. Jeez. Boy. I'd be quite angry. He wasn't. They realized it was God's plan for them. But I want to go to chapter 3 in Titus. It says, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is what Christ has done for us. We could never earn our way to heaven. Ever. It's by what He has done and the life that He has given us. He's given it to us. We need to take it. We need to carry that out. That's the commandment. Every single one of us here has a testimony of Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection and the power of what He's done for us in our lives. And we don't deserve it. I don't deserve it one bit. But that's how good He is. Let's not be that salt that's lost its Savior and be good for nothing. Let's keep the commandments of the epistles that are written to us, that we may glorify the Lord and His love that's shed abroad for all mankind. And we can't do it in this flesh. But he defeated that. That is the life. Every single one of us can do what the epistles command us. Love God, love one another is what it all boils down to. It's a simple choice of doing it. It's His love that does it. It's being in Him that fulfills it. I want to go to Psalms for a second. Psalms 125. This was on my mind this week. It says, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is around about His people from henceforth, even forever." That's a promise. Starts off with a choice of trust in Him. We need to take the whole thing as accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Not just the Savior part, but the Lord part as well. And that's a choice. And if you find yourself not being able to make that choice, that you're just trapped around this flesh. I know we felt like that, all of us, many, many times. Get with somebody. Get honest before the Lord. Get honest with yourselves. But get with Him, more importantly. Because if we make the Lord the forefront of our minds, having a single heart towards Him, you'll be able to do all things He's commanded. Because it would be Him that gives you the ability. What James says, purify your hearts, you double-minded. It's wanting your own way and His way, and it doesn't work. It's His way. So let's get to that place. Let's come together as a body. Let's accept that gospel of peace that He's given us. Let's receive all that He has given us. Because it's right there in front of us. It's our choice to reach out and grab it. Let's grab that. Let's become a body that takes ground for Jesus Christ. Amen.
Philip's up here. I was doing a little meditating, and when he's talking about Joseph, I think about and we've talked about it before, but there are, men and women of faith in every generation that because they stood, they became, they just stood in faith, believing God. They were a gift and a provision for those who came after them. And not my intention here to compare myself to Joseph. I'm not going to do that. But there is a testimony of people behind me earlier, who came before me, who have made the choice to be the Lord's. And even when it was not blatantly obvious that impacted me or made provision for me when I came along, it nonetheless is the case. And the Lord hid Joseph in Egypt to be a provision to His people. And let me just go back to my mother. It's kind of an interesting arrangement because I made her, I held her accountable when I was younger and new in the Lord for the, hypocrisy that my parents' relationship had in it. And I just hit her with the truth. And the Lord says His word doesn't return to Him void. At some point over the years, the Lord reached into my mother's heart and touched her. And she allowed herself to be set in situations and circumstances that, while not obviously terribly productive and beneficial to her, proved to be very beneficial and provisional for other people down the line, of whom I am a partaker. The Lord is good.
John 6:28.
I knew it was in John. Good. And that provision, whether you see it or not, He's made. His word gives testimony to that. And if you did a spiritually informed search into your background, you'd see that there's some people who have stood and become a provision for you, whether you even know it or not at this moment. And the example of my mother is just another example of, I didn't have to go very far to find somebody. And then that provision, it was there. And then, the Lord hid me. He hid my heart from the corruption of all the kind of stuff that was out there. Now, I wasn't going to church. I'd been there, done that. And then, the church broke apart, and because we're because men are men. And that confused me, and I didn't know what the deal was exactly. I just knew that there were some people that had loved the Lord, and now they took a hike because of the carnality and love of money and other such things. But rather than having me hardened to the Lord, he hid my heart and kept me preserved until his time. And then he provided a relationship that developed with Davey and the other members of this ministry. And at the time of the revelation of his love in my life, we became, many of us, through that process, productive, at least in a hideously awful, incomplete sense, more profitable to the Lord. Not near as profitable as we should be, but we're getting there. He's good to us, even when we're not smart enough to see how good to us he is. And the irony of the whole thing is how simple it all is and how offensive that is to us, how simple it is. And let me get to John 6:28. That's the one with everybody takes offense to. Unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh, kind of stuff. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. And that's it. Too simple. It's an offense. Not about me, it's about him. It's about how good he is. It's about how righteous he is. It's about how believing on him is reckoned to us his righteousness. There's everybody out there wants to be able to keep account of how good they are. Keeps records, keep standing. Say, I'm better than Philip.
That's easy. I don't need another example.
Yeah. But you know, the irony of the whole thing is, as the Lord was hiding me away, as I digress back to where I was before I went to John, the Lord was hiding me away. He had hidden my mother away. He hid me away and then had me to be there to stand for Philip and be a blessing and a provision for Philip. And then, you know, over the last couple of years, he's turning that around, and Philip's been a blessing and a comfort to me. See how good he is? And in neither one of those cases do we feel like we deserve it. We know we don't deserve it. We're utterly and wholly a failure and absolutely incapable of doing anything that's good. He's made provision for us, one another. He's done it because he's good and he's faithful and his word's true. And that same sort of love and relationship and a feeling of total provision comes down from those over us. In Davey is just, he's got this gruff, tough sort of reputation, but he's always been a feather. I've been hammered with. I've never been hammered hard or been ugly. He's never been ugly to me. He's loved me enough to tell me the truth, and I'd sit there to his face for years, a couple of years, telling him he's wrong, he's wrong. He just can't be right. Because I didn't want him to be, but he was. He was right. And he wasn't going to be moved. He was going to stand there until I saw he was right. That's love. That's exhortation. That's correction. The Lord is here with his ministers to minister life and love and provoking one another to righteous, to love and good works. Love and good works. His provision didn't look like much provision to Joseph, but it was Joseph trusting him that he was ordering his footsteps into a place in a position where he was working his purpose. And his purpose was to provide provision for his family. And when you can do that and not get puffed up and all prideful about how much God has honored you and made you look good amongst your brethren, and actually just don't care about that. Wasn't in his heart to care about that. What was in his heart was to do whatever he did as unto the Lord. And let the Lord worry about who gets credit for what. So all the Lord was really concerned about was that his family got provided for. That's it. But a lot of people benefited from the Lord's love of Joseph. And Joseph's love of the people. And that's the way it works. That's the way it works down. And it works in ways that are absolutely and totally practical. When the Lord opens up your eyes and shows you some of the people that have stood for you as a provision for you, even when you thought they were just being incredible pain in the butt. Believe on him whom he hath sent. Believe on him who he hath sent. That's really too simple. And it's an offense because it's so simple. But it's so complete. Everything's contained in that. Lord, I trust you that you're ordering my steps to be not only a blessing to me, but for me to be a blessing to somebody else that I haven't seen yet. I trust that you're faithful and your word is true. And whatever you have me do today is all right with me. I'm not going to sit here. I'm not capable of making a righteous judgment in the matter, and I'm not going to make a judgment. Your word is true. What you want to do with me is righteous.
Amen.
Who you want to bring me is needful. And I will minister Jesus Christ to them. We did last week or the week before, 5 and 6 in John around here on a Sunday. I want to go to the last couple of verses of John. Not really the last couple. Let's see. So let's go to verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at his sayings here, he said unto them, doth this offend you? And what if he shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. He just couldn't work a crowd for anything, could he? Then Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? And Simon Peter answered, him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of living God. And Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Where else are we going to go? Yeah, it's simple. Yeah, it's offensive. It's nothing I can do to make myself spiritual or righteous. There's nothing I can do to move past the simplicity of believe on him whom he has sent. And that is completely all it is. Everything else is just bound up into that. It's like I've come to fulfill the law. Love God, love one another. So now look at the Ten Commandments. They're broken into those two categories. Loving God and how you treat your brethren. That's how it is.
And the epistles, all that's hanging on that.
All the same. It's not hard to do. It's just choosing to do it. And then trust the Lord. Trust the Lord at everything you go through, everything, in every day. No matter what it seems to you, whether it's trivial or whether it's, important. If you can stand in that simplicity, then he can deliver you to the place where God causes all things to work together for good. Not just for you, but for the people that you, in some cases, don't even know yet. Some people the Lord hasn't brought through your radar. And they're not on your screen yet. When they get there, you're ready for them, and you can trust him for them that he's able to make all things work together for the good. For him that are called, love him and are called according to his purpose. If all my purpose here is to stand here and love him and serve him and till I am able to complete the work of being a blessing to somebody else, that's good enough. He was that for me. Phil was right in that. Having therefore this belief, how would you not want to go out there and tell everybody how good the Lord is? We're supposed to be doing that here. Need to take a Sunday after church when it's not terribly rainy and cold and introduce ourselves to people in the neighborhood and see if we can be a blessing to some of these people here. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Supposed to act and be showing that we believe and trust, and it makes a difference in a practical way that we believe on him who he has sent, and that him is Jesus. I'm done.